Jehovah said, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Let's go to the Old Testament book of Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. I shared in a previous message how this particular passage, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, is a prophecy that was fulfilled when Jesus Christ died on the cross. While he was dead on the cross, a soldier came and stuck a spear in his side, you know, just to make sure that he was already dead. So if this is a prophecy of the death of Jesus Christ, we have to wonder, who was it that was talking here in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10? We can find the answer to that question by going back to verse 1 in the same chapter, and it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. So look at that. We have right here in the first verse of that chapter, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. If you look up the word Lord there, you will find that the word there in the Hebrew is Yehovah or Jehovah. You could say Yahweh. So we're talking about Almighty God here, folks. I want you to see that. We are talking about Jehovah. So in Zechariah, as we read from verse 10, he says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Who is talking there? This was Jehovah that was talking. Now this presents a very big problem for many people. You know, many people do not believe that Jesus Christ is deity. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. But right here in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, verse 10, it tells us here that Jehovah said that they will look upon me. So the me is Jehovah, and Jehovah is Jesus Christ. Very clear. We just proved that with those two verses. Let's go now to the New Testament where that was fulfilled. If you look at John chapter 19, verses 30 through 37, it says the following. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost or spirit. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. All I can say is, wow. So right here, folks, right at the beginning of this message, we have already proven through the use of the scriptures that the one who was pierced was Jesus Christ. As I said, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy from Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, where Jehovah spoke. So we have an amazing thing that's taking place here, folks. You don't hear too much about this in churches, but it needs to be spoken. So we know that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And Jehovah said, they will look upon me whom they have pierced. So that's what took place, folks. A soldier pierced his side. And what came out? Blood and water. So this is some interesting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You have to start thinking now, if this is true, which it is, then the next question is, do you know the salvation that is found in this person that we know as Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." So there, again, we see that word pierced, and this is actually talking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming with clouds, and the Bible makes it clear that every eye is going to see him, folks. Every eye in the world, no matter what part of planet Earth a person may live in, when the time is ripe for the Lord to come, every eye is going to see him. Nobody is going to miss the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews now, chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. It says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." So what do we learn here, ladies and gentlemen? It's talking about God, and it's talking about the Son. And look at what it says in relation to that. It says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." So here's the Father, who is God, calling the Son God. Did you pick up that? "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." If you go to verse 10, it says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." Now, if you remember, we read in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth." Now, isn't that interesting? It's the same exact words we find in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth." So clearly, Jehovah laid the foundation of the earth. We're talking about deity. We're talking about God. And when we see here that the person who laid the foundation of the earth is none other than the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." So if God created the heaven and the earth, clearly Jesus Christ is God. Go to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24. It says the following. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Hallelujah. Who laid the foundation, folks? Who formed these things? It says the Lord. He did it all. He made all things. He did it alone. So we see everything, it all points to Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So how could it says "in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What? How could that be? How could he be with God and be God? Well, that's what it says here. It says he was with God and he was God, and then he made all things. Who is this Word anyway? You could find out who the Word is by going down a little further in the chapter. Let's go to verse 10. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we have another powerful revelation from the Word of God. It says that the world was made by Him, but the world didn't know Him, speaking of Jesus Christ. He came unto His own. Who is His own? The Jewish people. And His own received Him not. Listen, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons or children of God. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can become a child of God. Okay? Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're born of God. Now listen to this. Here's what I want you to see. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Look at that. The Word, remember, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Word, the same Word, this is Jehovah, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Look at that. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So many people miss it, folks. They don't make the connection that Jesus Christ is God. For many people, He's nothing more than a person who lived a couple of thousand years ago. Maybe He did some good deeds and so on and so forth. Many have a false image of Jesus still rolling around in the arms of Mother Mary. No, this is the King of Kings I'm talking to you about today. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the Alpha and Omega. This is the first and the last, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one you need. This is the person who you need. Oh, yes, you do. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16, Old Testament. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Hallelujah. So here we have God talking. He says, come near to me. Listen. He says, I haven't spoken in secret from the time that it was. There am I. I'm always. God is eternal. And look at what it says here. It says, and now the Lord God, one, and His Spirit, number two, hath sent me. Three. Do you see the triunity and the eternal God there? Godhead, folks? It's incredible. I'll say it again. And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Sent who? That sent Christ into the world, ladies and gentlemen. That's another prophecy regarding Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. It says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So who's ever talking here? We know that there are no gods beside Him. He says, and beside me there is no God. And He says, thus saith the Lord. This is Jehovah, the King of Israel. Jesus Christ is the King of Israel, and His Redeemer. He's the Redeemer, ladies and gentlemen. He redeemed us from our sins. He redeemed us with His blood. Hallelujah. So you see the connection over and over and over. We see in the Scriptures it is talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let's go now to the New Testament book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. This is when John had this vision of Christ and the risen Christ, the glorified Christ, and he was afraid, he feared, and the Lord laid His right hand upon him. He says, fear not, I am the first and the last. So look at that. In Isaiah 44, 6, it says the Lord, Jehovah is the first and the last, but here it says Jesus. He's saying, I am the first and the last. Look at that. He says, I am He that liveth and was dead. Who is dead? How could Jehovah be dead? Look at this. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Same chapter, Revelation verse 11, Revelation 1 verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. This was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his churches. Hallelujah. And it says he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. Go back to Revelation 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Who is this talking about? Of course it's talking about Jesus Christ. It tells us here he is the Almighty. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is the Almighty. Jesus Christ is the first and the last. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah. I hope you're starting to see the deity of Jesus Christ here. Chapter 2, Revelation verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Once again, it tells us here, ladies and gentlemen, that the first and the last was dead and now he's alive. We already learned that the first and the last is talking about Almighty God. So folks, this is why you need this person that we know as Jesus Christ. He says here, right out of his own mouth, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's not a person in the world, man or woman, that's going to come to God outside of Jesus Christ. You must come through him. You must come through Jesus Christ. That's what he said. It says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We find in the New Testament book of Acts, the Apostle Peter said the following. He was talking to the people of Israel. He said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Could it be any clearer? He's talking to the Jewish people. He's talking about the name of Jesus Christ. He says, whom ye crucified. They killed him. Right there in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. There's no other name by which a person might be saved. It says right here, no other name under heaven. You must come through Jesus Christ. Could it be any clearer? It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you want to be saved today, folks? Are you still outside? Are you still walking through this world without salvation? Don't put it off. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself talking. He said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You want everlasting life, folks? You're going to find it in one place, right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. It's in him. And this is why Christ came into the world. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if you don't know Christ, it tells you here in verse 18 where you stand. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Folks, you're condemned already. In other words, if you go to the casket without faith in Christ, without being genuinely saved, without being genuinely born again of the Spirit, you're going to die in your sins. You're already condemned. Because God has offered to you salvation, which is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's all about what he did for us. And I'm going to show you what he did for us right here in Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Some of the greatest words you'll ever hear or read, which is found in the scriptures, in the Bible. This is talking about the love of God, folks. For sinners, that's you, that's me, right? No other way out. Here's the deal, folks. Don't forget this. He died for you, he died for me. And here's how you get justified. If you've never put your faith in Christ and accepted Christ, received him, you're still dead in your sins. Okay? It says, much more than being now justified by his blood. If you haven't put your faith in him, you're still dead in your sins. You're not justified. This is the only way to be justified before a holy and righteous God. You stand before him on judgment day. You're either standing in his righteousness, you've been bought with the blood of Christ, or you're not. It says, we shall be saved from wrath. How? Through him. How? Through your own good works, by doing the best you can, by being a goody two-shoes and flipping a quarter to a homeless guy every once in a while? Nope. All your own righteousnesses, folks, all your own good deeds, nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash away your sin. Right now, folks, without Christ, you're an enemy. That's what you're, an enemy of God. You might not think that way, but you are an enemy of God. It says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So the person who turned to Christ and says, "I need salvation," you call upon the Lord for the salvation of your soul. It's a past event. You were reconciled. How? By the death of his Son. Oh, yes. That's how a person gets saved. That's how you get right with God. That's how you make peace with God. You reconcile back to God. How? By Jesus Christ, through what he did for us on the cross. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to leave it there, folks. You heard the message, how I began this message, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the title said, "Jehovah said, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." If Jehovah is the one who went to the cross, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, he went to the cross. You may be Jewish and you say, "Well, I don't believe that stuff." Well, I'm here to tell you today that this message is geared especially for people just like you. You need the Christ that I'm talking about today. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is for both Jew and Gentile. That includes everyone in the entire world. You be blessed and have a great day.